This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review. Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. Today we'll be talking about Catholic music and the ways it can be used to inspire and evangelize. Our guest is Seth Schlieder. As a young high school graduate, Seth joined a missionary group youth retreat in Ohio as a worship leader. Before joining the Provident Entertainment family in 2023, he released his music independently, opened for artists such as Brandon Lake and Phil Wickham, and began the group Damascus Worship when he saw the need for worship and revival in the Catholic Church. I first met Seth when he toured with Matt Maher, making a stop in Frederick, Maryland in 2024. His debut major EP, Counting My Blessings, peaked at number one on all four Christian radio charts and hit number one on Spotify Brazil's viral playlist. He was nominated for two Dove Awards, the Christian version of the Grammys, including for New Artist of the Year, and he was named Billboard's number two new Christian artist. Seth is a parishioner of St. John Newman in Sunbury, Ohio. Welcome to the show, Seth.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, man. It's so fun to be on with you.
Great. Let's talk about how you got started in ministry. What was your inspiration for getting involved in the youth retreat in Ohio?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in an awesome Catholic family, and, you know, both of my parents were involved in ministry things. So I just kind of grew up in ministry my whole life. And I ended up going to this summer camp called Catholic Youth Summer Camp in Ohio when I was 14, 15 years old. And while I was there, I encountered the Lord in powerful ways and just saw a community of young adults that loved the Lord and were just following him with their whole lives. And it was really inspiring for me as a kid. And so stayed connected to that community throughout high school. And then post high school, I was planning on going to Ave Maria University in Florida and had a full ride and had a roommate picked out and everything. And I felt like just the Lord called me one day and just be like, hey, you know, like, actually, I want you to lay this at my feet and go join this full-time missionary community at Damascus, which is where the summer camps are being run, and join their full-time program and become a missionary with them. And so that's what I ended up doing. I just felt the Lord calling me to lay everything down and join this group of missionaries. And so that was really what inspired it for me.
So what is Damascus Worship and what made you form that ministry?
Yeah, so Damascus Worship, really, I mean, comes from the ministry of Damascus, which is coming up on 10 years. We've been running summer camps for 25 years this year, but we're coming up on 10 years of what we call our full-time missionary program, where we, throughout the year, not just during the summer, we're running retreats and conferences and events just to bring people to deeper encounter with Jesus. And so it's not just, you know, learning a lot about him, but it's actually meeting the person of Jesus. And so that's really what the ministry is all about. And the worship expression of that just kind of came from, you know, we started writing some songs and just started leading these times of praise and worship and really just saw it as a huge part of what we were doing and just seeing people encounter Jesus in really powerful ways during times of worship and praise and seeing, you know, it being just an integral part of what we were doing. And so we decided to give some more attention to it. And that's really where Damascus Worship came. We're like, what if we started writing and releasing our own music? And what if we started, you know, going and leading some events outside of just our campus in Ohio, but, you know, started traveling around a little bit and shared what we feel like the Lord was doing at our community with other people. And so that was really kind of the inspiration behind starting it and what made us just say yes to it and kind of start down forming that and growing it to where it is today.
So you took songs around the campfire to a whole new level.
For sure.
Great. How do you see this ministry bringing about revival in the Catholic Church? It's probably no coincidence that you kind of really started this. You released your EP during the year of the National Eucharistic Congress. I mean, how do you see that being part of the revival in the church?
I mean, I think what's cool is, you know, we work a lot with youth, right? And particularly middle schools and high schoolers are what our summer camp is run for. And so when we're talking about like revival in the church, really what we're talking about is, you know, people not just like knowing about Jesus, but really encountering him and like living differently as a result. You know, that their life, Jesus isn't just an accessory to their life. He's the Lord of their life. And that's really what revival is about. And so I think for us, it's what we're seeing at these summer camps, what we're seeing at these worship events we're doing. I mean, it's crazy. These kids are coming in and they're just excited, you know, about the zip lines and the paintball and the, you know, all the fun activities that we've got. But then they walk away and the highlight for them is the mass. The highlight for them is these times of worship. The highlight for them is the fact that they're like, man, I was dead in my faith, you know, and I was just going through the motions and I, you know, didn't even really necessarily believe in God, but I saw, you know, I actually encountered him this week. I felt his presence. I saw him work a miracle. I, you know, discovered him. And I really now believe that like he is present in the Eucharist, like things like that. And so I think that's just like a huge part of the revival is just seeing these kids encounter Jesus. And again, you know, what we're doing with the music space is so similar because we all know music has such a powerful way to just help us encounter something. And, you know, the enemy in the world will use this in a twisted way, right? They use music to push an agenda that is contrary to our beliefs. But it's cool that, you know, the point of music and, you know, God created music. Like it wasn't something created apart from him. Like it was created by him to glorify him. And I think that's why there's so much power in it to actually help teach people about truths of the faith and help them actually encounter the person that they're singing about.
Yeah, it seems that one of the things that we're calling people to more these days is to find this personal encounter with Jesus. It's one thing to know theology, to know the catechism, but unless you know Jesus as a person, as your savior, it's not going to really make a difference in your life, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it goes beyond just intellectual knowledge, and it transfers to experiential knowledge. And I remember seeing this interesting study that, you know, we have, I think it's like 5 out of 6 kids like within 10 years of being confirmed are leaving the church, you know? So it's like, there's an issue that's going on, but of the ones that stayed, 9 out of 10 of them, so like 90% say they stayed because they had a personal encounter with Jesus. It wasn't just, you know, oh, I learned something about him. It was like, man, I actually encountered him. And so that's what's keeping people staying in the church. And so I think that's really what we're about is trying to help facilitate those encounters. So people, you know, actually stay connected to their faith and stay connected to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Counting My Blessings, the title track off the EP. It's a really catchy tune about a God who never fails. It won the K-Love Radio Fan Award for Breakout Single of the Year. What is the song about and why do you think it resonates with people?
Yeah, I mean, the song is really about gratitude. You know, it's about the fact that there's always something to be grateful for. It doesn't matter what season you're in. It doesn't matter what you're going through. And it's so easy for us to forget that, you know, like good things happen to us. And so often we just take it for granted and don't actually think about it. And the song is a reminder to actually pause and thank the Lord. And, you know, and the flip side, sometimes we, you know, bad things happen to us and we just feel like there's nothing worth, like there's nothing good anymore until again, we pause and see like, man, actually there's still so much to be grateful for. And I think that's why the song has resonated because gratitude is something that's universal. I think everyone can understand it. And it's been so cool because honestly, one of the like highlights of Counting My Blessings has been the fact that it's been used. It's become a huge social media song. So people are using it on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and YouTube and all these different places. And it's people of all walks of life and backgrounds and even religious beliefs, you know? And it's like, I think it's just crazy to see like these celebrities and, you know, these, you know, movie stars and athletes that are like posting about this. You know, posting about life using this song that's directly about the Lord. And I think, again, there's just something about gratitude that is just so speaks to people's hearts. And even if they're not quite like necessarily like would acknowledge a belief in God, there's something about a song that speaks to gratitude that I think prompts them to acknowledge like, man, there's got to be some sort of, you know, divine guide here because this couldn't just be accidental.
Right. Well, let's take a listen to a little bit of Counting My Blessings.
It's like it was yesterday, I was praying for a miracle, scared to have a little hope, and now looking back today, seeing all the things you've done, I can't even add them up, 1, 2, 3, up to infinity, I'd run out of numbers before I thank you for everything. God, I'm still counting my blessings, all that you've done in my life. The more that I look in the details, the more of your goodness I find. Father, on this side of heaven, I know.
I understand that as the popularity of Counting My Blessings took off in Brazil, a Brazilian artist recorded a version in Portuguese. How did that work out?
Yeah, that was such a fun experience. So Counting My Blessings, before it even blew up in the United States, it blew up in Brazil in a huge way and became a viral phenomenon there. And so the label I'm signed to is actually an imprint. So it's like a subdivision of a bigger label called Sony Records. And so Sony also has artists. They have a Sony Brazil artist label under them as well. And so when the song started going really big in Brazil, Sony got in touch with Sony Brazil, and they were like, hey, do y'all have any artists that like we could get to record a Portuguese version of the song? And they had a newer artist that they had just signed, and she had some following from doing previous stuff, and was like kind of well known, but was still kind of looking for, you know, another thing to do. And so they ended up recording a version of it. And what was cool too is sometimes you'll have versions of songs, especially if they're translated into different, you know, different languages, they change the song a lot. She kept the song pretty much like the same, like it sounds very similar and has a great, you know, sound to it, but it's just her voice and it's in Portuguese. And I mean, it just skyrocketed. It just went crazy viral because the song was already big there. And then all of a sudden they got to hear it from a Brazilian who's singing in Portuguese. Which is their language. And all of a sudden, yeah, I mean, I think at this point it's got over 200 million views on YouTube alone. Like, just like, you know, became one of the, I think it was literally one of the most watched videos the entire year on YouTube, like altogether. So it's just crazy to see how the Lord like made it all happen. And you know, you can't plan for these things, but just to see the way that it all worked out was so cool.
Right. That's a great way for the song to take off.
Right.
Well, we are talking with Seth Schlieder about his music and passion for ministry. We'll be back after a short break. This is Chris Gunty, and you're listening to Catholic Review Radio. Stay tuned. News from the Archdiocese of Baltimore, from the newsroom of the Catholic Review. A fire at St. Rita Church in Dundalk, July 1st, caused estimated damages of more than $750,000. The church recently merged with Our Lady of Hope Parish, also in Dundalk, but was being used as a secondary worship site. Not long after Baltimore County firefighters extinguished the two-alarm blaze at St. Rita's, Father Kevin Mueller, the pastor, carefully ascended the staircase to a soot-covered choir loft. He recovered a scorched statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary that had been part of one of the parish Christmas nativity scenes that was stored there. The figure stands as a sign of hope and resilience for a community shaken and uncertain about the future. Other items recovered from the church were also on display during a Mass July 2nd at Our Lady of Hope. Baltimore Archbishop William Laurie and Knights of Columbus Supreme Knight Patrick Kelly met July 4th in a private audience with Pope Leo XIV at the Vatican to discuss the work of the order around the world. Pope Leo already had some awareness of the Knights through parish experience in Chicago and because his brother is a Knight. Archbishop Laurie said the meeting provided an opportunity to present a comprehensive picture of who the Knights are, what the Knights do, and some of its current initiatives. The Archbishop is Supreme Chaplain of the Global Order. He said the Pope seems to be an active listener, taking in everything and giving ample opportunity for people to speak, and then he engages after that. Archbishop Laurie said he thanked the Pope for his comments early in his pontificate on artificial intelligence and shared with him a copy of the Maryland Bishop's recent letter about AI. For more, visit CatholicReview.org. And subscribe to our e-newsletter by texting WMET to 84576.
is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
We are back on Catholic Review Radio. Our guest is Seth Schlieder, musician and evangelist. Seth, in your press kit, you mentioned that your songs are kind of like your loaves and fishes, an offering to the Lord to be shared with others. What do you mean by that?
I love the story of the multiplication of the loaves and fish, because it's just, you know, this boy who has a simple offering that he gives to the Lord. And it wasn't like he was expecting anything to come from it, but the Lord just did so much through that. And I also love, though, too, there's another story. It's like, it's a lot less attention in scripture because it's a lot less flashy. It's the story of the widow's mite, right? This widow who brings her coin to the treasury and, you know, drops it in, and Jesus sees it. And he's like, she's contributed more than anyone else because she gave everything she had. And I think it's so fascinating because it's not like he multiplied it. You know, it's not like he did anything crazy with it, but it was still, he was so loved by it. And I think just those two stories have become really like guideposts for me in my own ministry, in my own music, because it's like, hey, in both cases, there was an offering that was given to Jesus. And in one case, he multiplied it and did crazy things with it. In the other case, it was enough that just he saw it. And I think that's just the mentality that I try to take with everything I do, is like, hey, my job isn't the multiplication. Like, I can't do anything about that. All I can do is just give the Lord the gift of what I have. And if it ends up more like the story of the loaves and fish, like it did with Counting My Blessings, where I gave something small and it ended up becoming this massive thing, like, awesome, that's so sweet. But also there are going to be times, and have been times, where I, you know, release something or give it to the Lord and it looks a lot different. But the point of it always has to be, hey, I'm doing this for the Lord. And it's not up to me to try to determine what the outcome is. I just know that the win for me is that I gave it to the Lord.
I heard a priest give a homily about the loaves and the fishes one time, and he said it was a miracle of sharing, because all the people who were there, they probably had some food with them. You know, they wouldn't be out traveling without some food with them. And what that young boy did by coming up with the loaves and fishes, it encouraged the rest of them to share too. Mm. And so as the baskets went around, they're like, well, yeah, I'll have a little bit of fish, but I've got some bread, or I've got something else. And they all shared together because they were inspired by one person starting it off. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
In what ways do you think that scripture inspires your music?
Oh, so much for me. I think like my music comes from, I think the two biggest sources of inspiration are just my prayer time with the Lord, which involves a lot of reading scripture, and, you know, just life, which also just kind of, I feel like, flows from that prayer time. And so I think for me, I always, obviously you want to everything you write to be sound, you know, scripturally and, you know, make sense and not cause any you know, confusion. So obviously there's that element to it, but I think just in general, like, right, you know, there's something powerful about taking the words of the Lord, you know, like that are breathed by the Holy Spirit, and putting them to song. That I think there's just something so special. And I feel all my songs have, you know, either a implicit or explicit scripture quote, and usually more than one, you know, and I feel like I base so many of my songs off of scripture. It's like a starting point for so much of when I'm writing music. It really comes from times of scripture.
Good. Now, running back to you, another song on that EP is about repentance. Let's hear a part of that song.
I was an orphan, defined by mistakes. Thought I was forsaken, that you gave up the chase. I went to the reaches to try and ease the ache. Turned my back on the one who kept calling my name. He kept calling my name. Didn't matter where I was at. You just kept calling me back. Back to the table. Back to my home. Back to my father.
Do you think the Catholic Church's sacrament of reconciliation is a powerful tool for bringing people back to God?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I love the story of the prodigal son. And I love, you know, even just this song. When we were writing the song, you know, we really were trying to keep it joyful and uplifting because honestly, repentance is something we're celebrating. I think so often, you know, we think about, when we think of repentance, we think of Ash Wednesday, you know, and we think about like, you know, like fasting and just like ashes and black and whatever it might be, like, which again, there's a place for that. But also I think in general, like we have to think about God's heart in those moments. And it's not one of judgment. It's one of like, man, I'm so glad you came back home. Like that's the father who's like waiting for him to arrive and like runs out to meet him. And so I think like even, you know, when it comes to the sacrament of reconciliation, like so often I think we have this fear of it. Catholics have this fear of it because we're like, oh, you know, God, it's like this judgment thing. And it's just like this, you know, sad experience. But also like we forget the joyful part of it of like, no, this is actually us coming into the arm, back to the arms of the Father. It is us running back to him and saying, God, I need you. I need your mercy. I need, you know, your help. And he rejoices in that. So I feel like it should actually be such a joyful occasion, right? Like Jesus talks about how, you know, there's more rejoicing in heaven over like the one sinner who comes back and repents than like the 99 who never left. And so I think there should be a beauty and a joy in repentance. And I feel like the sacrament of reconciliation is obviously such an incredible way for us to experience that.
There's another song on the EP, Won't Start Now, that talks about how God doesn't give up on us. Here's a bit of that one.
I've never seen a morning the sun forgot to rise. In every single detail, you're faithful every time. I've never lived a moment that you weren't by my side. Cause you've never made a promise, turned around and changed your mind. You've never left me in the cold, never hurt me or let me go. You never have before, and you won't start now.
How have you, Seth, experienced God's faithfulness in your own life?
Yeah, I mean, in so many ways, I feel like I've got stories on stories of his faithfulness. I think about, you know, even just that decision to, you know, leave, like not go to college where I had a full ride and everything planned out and go join a ministry in the middle of nowhere, Ohio. You know, yeah. It just sounds like the most crazy thing. And everyone thought I was crazy, but I was like, man, I really feel like this is what the Lord's calling me to do. And you know, because of that, I'm, you know, that's where I met my wife and we're married now. And so saw his faithfulness there. That's where I developed as like a worship leader and a songwriter, which is obviously, you know, I'm seeing the impact of that now. It's where like some, like the best friends in my life have been developed. And, you know, it's just from one of those moments where from a world's perspective, it doesn't make any sense. But every time you follow the Lord, you're like, all right, I know you're not going to abandon me. I know you're not going to like leave me alone. You're going to be with me in every step of this. And so I feel like so many times throughout my history, I've just seen how, you know, following him, I've never regretted it once because there's always so much that he has in store for me when I just say yes to him.
Cool. How do you think your recent marriage is going to affect your music?
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny because I feel like so much of my relationship with my wife like coincided with my musical journey. So, you know, I was starting to talk to labels and like start to meet with them and learn more about them the same season I started dating my wife, which is like what you're doing in dating. And then when we got engaged was when I actually signed, right around that time, within a month, was when I signed to my label. So it was like funny even there. It's like, all right, I'm making a commitment to this girl and I'm making a commitment now to this label. And then my single came out, kind of my blessings came out like a month and a half before we got married. So it was like another like big thing happening at the same time. And so I think it's just been fun to have those like walk together and grow together because, you know, obviously being married and being in that state of life inspires my writing, inspires my prayer. It really helps you evaluate, you know, what's most important. You know, it's like, all right, when I'm going out, when I have the opportunity to go play at this thing or that thing, like, is it really worth me being gone for my wife? And, you know, and if it is, like, all right, then I want to be all in for it because I don't want to just do this half-heartedly. It's like, this is a sacrifice for me to be here. And so I want to make sure that I'm giving everything I have in it. And so I feel like it's just been cool to see how it's grown me as an artist, grown me as a musician, grown me as a husband, and in all the different ways.
That's an awesome way to look at it. Well, Seth Schlieder's tour is going to bring him to our region this fall with stops September 24th in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, September 27th in Little Washington, Maryland, and October 5th in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Seth, where can folks find your music or more information about your work?
Yeah, if you look up Seth, S-E-P-H, online, anywhere, I'm going to be the first thing that comes up. There's not any other Seth.
Not a lot of other Seths out.
Not going to try to make you memorize the last name, how to spell the last name. So you look up Seth on Spotify or Apple Music or Pandora or, you know, on Google, you're going to find my stuff.
Well, and in case you want to spell his last name, it's pronounced Seth Schlieder, but it's S-C-H-L-U-E-T-E-R. So if you're looking
Correct.
For him on Spotify or Google or anything like that, that's probably the best way to do that. Thank you so much for being with us today, Seth. We appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So great to be with y'all.
Thanks. We've been talking with Seth Schlieder about his music and ministry. This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review. Thanks for listening to Catholic Review Radio. Like us on your favorite podcast and tune in next week.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.